What a true statement that is. People need the Lord. And folks, you've all come today to hear His word spoken. So I pray that the Lord will use me to bring His word to you. Today we're going to be turning to Genesis chapter 4 to look at an old story that most everybody is very familiar with. But folks, there are some things here that were on my heart that I hope I can express and bring out to you as we study the story of Cain and Abel. Now, folks, for the past 3 weeks, I've started in Genesis and haven't moved out of there. There's a whole lot in the story, in the stories we find in the book of Genesis. But I suppose everyone is a little different. And in my time that I've been trying to bring the word to the various churches where I've traveled, Angela can attest to this, I start praying early in the week. And sometimes it's not till the very last minute that I feel that, yes, that's the message I'm supposed to bring. And this one was on my heart a little earlier. So I do feel that there are things here that we need to learn from the story of Cain and Abel. So folks, I want to start reading chapter 4, verse 1, and we will read down through verse 7, and then we'll stop and go back and try to understand perhaps some things that we oftentimes overlook in the story of Cain and Abel. So if you would, turn with me, please, in your Bibles, and we'll start reading again from verse 1 down to verse 7. And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, will that not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Let's say a quick prayer again, please. Father, we come to you again in prayer asking for the Spirit to move us and to guide us and to rightly discern and divide your word. Father, let it speak to our hearts, and for every intended purpose, dear Lord, that it may have this day, we pray that it will be accomplished. We again praise you and thank you for this ability, the privilege to come to you to worship you this day. These things we pray in the name of Christ, and amen. Now, folks, I want to make some observations. This story, starting in chapter 4, this first little story, there's a lot of firsts. Maybe you've thought about it before, maybe you haven't. But we have some firsts right here. We have the first parents, Adam and Eve. We have the first childbirth, natural childbirth. Eve gave birth to Cain and Abel. The first children, natural born children here on earth. Can you really begin to wrap your mind around that? It's hard to think of and to truly conceive. But folks, these are God's words. We need to take them full face value for what they are. This is the very beginning, the very first family. We have the first listed occupations. We have the farmer and a shepherd. And we have the first offerings by people. All these occurred in the words that we just read, the very first things. And they should bring to your thoughts, I think, and onto your heart some additional questions. And go back up with me to verse 4:3, and then we'll ponder some of these questions. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. In the process of time. Folks, that can mean a lot of different things. The Bible is not specific in this regard. How old were Cain and Abel? Doesn't say. I guess in some ways it doesn't truly matter. But folks, if we try to put ourselves in this story, to try to learn and gain and understand it all the more, these things do become relative. Obviously, we think Cain and Abel were grown, but we don't know how old they were. We don't know the age difference between Cain and Abel either. But we do know that when they were of age, they brought an offering. What instructions did they have for that offering? The Bible doesn't specify that right here. We just know that Cain brought an offering and that Abel brought an offering. It's something to think about as we go through the story. What were their instructions? Now, I want you to, just a couple observations. These aren't really questions. If Cain and Abel were grown young men, obviously they had clothes. Animals had to be killed for those clothes, just like it was true for Adam and Eve. They had to be clothed. So here we have two grown men that have occupations, a farmer and a shepherd. They're clothed. They've been taught by Adam and Eve. Again, we don't know the time frame, how old they were. We don't know specifically how old Adam and Eve were when these words are recorded. But here they bring an offering. Now let's read again verses 3 through 5. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he did not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Now, we need to scrutinize this a little bit more. There's a lot that occurred right here. Cain brought an offering, and Abel brought an offering. Now, I want to observe what the word tells us here. Abel brought the firstlings of his flock and the fat portions. The word tells us here that both Abel and his offering were respected. God looked at not just the offering, but he looked at Abel too. And both were respected. And you can say both are accepted. Why is that? Well, if we just look at it on the surface, we know that it says here, the text tells us distinctly, that Abel brought the firstling, the first, the very best to the offer. It wasn't a blemished lamb or sheep. He brought the very first, the very best that he had to offer. And evidently, when he brought the offer to the Lord, he must have placed it on something like an altar. Because it says he gave the fat thereof too. In other words, he killed the animal and he processed to render the fat. And the fat was required. You see, it does appear that God must have instructed Cain and Abel to some degree. Because later in Leviticus, fat is required in certain offerings. And always for the atonement of sin, an animal sacrifice was required. So Abel knew this. This is what Abel did. And his offering was accepted. You know, it also points, obviously, and folks, some of this you may have considered and thought of, but a lot of this you know already. I'm just bringing it back up to memory because perhaps you haven't looked at this story in a long time. Of course, that animal sacrifice is a forerunner in pointing towards Jesus Christ, our sacrificial lamb, our atonement for our sins. You see, Abel brought an offering for the forgiveness of sins. That only an animal sacrifice with blood that could cover those sins. That's what was needed. That's what was required. Have you thought about it? Cain brought an offering too. But his offering was an offering from the fruit of the ground. And the Bible tells us that neither Cain nor his offering was acceptable. Why? There's a pretty good contrast here. Why? Well, again, the text is specific. Cain brought of the fruit of the ground. That's what it says. Now, we know they're grain offerings later. But here it says he brought of the fruit of the ground. It does not say that he brought his first fruits, does it? So there's a difference here, just in those comparisons alone. There's more differences. But just in that right there, it doesn't say he didn't, it doesn't say he did, but it specifically said that Abel did, putting God first. Now, folks, we need to think about our lives. We think about our tithing and other requirements. If not tithing, our devotion to worship. Where in the priority in your life does God come? In Abel's, God came first. I see Abel with a thankful, grateful heart presenting this offer to the Lord. It says here, Cain brought an offering too. But it doesn't say it was his first fruits. Folks, the fruits of the ground represents, if you think about it, Cain's work. Now, he was a farmer. I think he had pride in what he did. And there's nothing wrong with farmers bringing that type of an offering before the Lord. But you see, it was man's efforts and hands that produced that. It was Abel's. So I think he was bringing what he was proud of, what he had done. You see, God provided the animals. Abel was a shepherd, a tender of the flock, but he didn't create the animals. Now, God blesses the produce and brings forth the fruit from the ground, but man's effort to till the ground is there. So Abel was holding on to his efforts when he brought this offering. It's his works. The works of men. That's what he brought. I think we get a better understanding if you look back to Genesis chapter 3:21. When Adam and Eve sinned and their eyes were open, they sewed together fig leaves as aprons to try to cover their nakedness. That's what the word tells us. And when we say the nakedness there, of yes, they didn't have any clothes and they realized, yeah, I needed clothes. But that also represents sin. And the fig leaves weren't sufficient. What they did on their own didn't cover their sins. So God killed animals back in chapter 3. And blood was required and God clothed them. He provided the clothes. And when he did that, the blood was representative of the blood sacrifice, of the offering, a substitution, which is we later see in Christ. Only this offering was acceptable to cover their sins. The animal skins were required to cover Adam and Eve's nakedness or their sins. Again, the fig leaves weren't sufficient, what they did on their own. So the animal sacrifice was acceptable. You see, men's works are never enough. In Leviticus, there's an order to the sacrifices that the Jewish people were required to bring before God. What always came first was the animal sacrifice. It was always first. Grain offerings were acceptable for other things. But the animal sacrifice, the burnt offering, the spilling of blood, is what was required to cover their sins. That's where the atonement for sins came from. And folks, these atonements, all these animal sacrifices were merely substitutions until when Christ came. That's the only sacrifice that ever forgave sins. But these were required until that day came. A sacrifice. Men's hands and works weren't able to do it. So as we look back at Cain, there appears there had to be some instructions given. And Cain didn't follow him. He could have brought an animal sacrifice too. But he didn't. He brought fruits of the ground. And God had no respect for either Cain or the sacrifice. And that's important. Either Cain or the sacrifice. And this text was specific about that. God had showed no respect or no regard. Or they weren't acceptable. There's lots of different ways to read it. to think about it. Cain was very wroth. He was very, very upset. And it says here that his countenance fell. Now, folks, we're getting to the crux, I think, of what's the most important thing here. Because there's a problem. And that problem comes out in the rest of the verses. It's a problem that's common to everybody, what Cain was struggling here with. Let's read verse 6 and 7, and then we'll comment some more. Well, verse 5 again. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Let's stop right there for just a moment. Folks, what do you see, or what jumps out to you in this passage that we just read? The first thing that comes to mind to me is God is talking. Okay, God is communicating with Cain. There's a personal, or I should say a close relationship here. God is talking. Is Cain listening? What does God tell him? I'm paraphrasing now. Cain made a mistake. He didn't do what I think he was instructed to do. However that worked out, God told him. He's encouraging Cain. We see God's patient nature. You see, God doesn't punish us for a mistake. There's a difference between a mistake and a sin. Now, sometimes our mistakes lead to sins. They can be combined together. But God doesn't punish us for a mistake. We see God's kind and patient and loving nature here. What does he tell him? And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? He's encouraging Cain, try again. Bring another offering to me. You see, folks, sometimes that happens to us in life, too. We make mistakes, don't we? But how loving is our God? How great is our God? He's reasoning with Cain here. Won't you be accepted if you do what's right? Now, again, I'm paraphrasing. If thou doest well. But then, the second part of verse 7, a warning is given. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Now, folks, this is the crux of the problem that Cain had. You see, he's facing temptation, just like each and every one of us do. We all face temptations. God is saying here at Cain, humble yourself and turn to me. You will be accepted if you do what's right. Cain is being tempted. And to make it a little bit clear, here's a slightly different translation of Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at the door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. He's struggling with temptation. Now, the King James Version that I read the first time, of verse 7, and if that's what you have, you can read it with me. If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. The same thing as sin is crouching. And unto thee shall be his desire. It's called his desire. It makes me think of Satan. In this newer translation, it says here, let me read it again, it desires to have you. Either way, it's an entity. It desires to have you, and folks, that's true for us. Temptations, be whether they well up from within us or if they're directly from Satan, the temptation desires to have you and to lead you astray. But God's telling Cain, you shall rule over it. You must rule over this temptation. We all face temptations, folks. God told him, if you do well, if you turn to me, listen to me, there had to be instructions there. You will be accepted. And he warns them, if you do not, sin's lying at the door. It's crouching right there. and its desire is to have you. But it tells us, but you shall rule over it. What does it tell us in James chapter 4, verse 7? And I find it a little coincidental that these are both verse 7s. They're both chapter 4. James 4, 7. Submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. See, folks, that takes effort. We have to try. It's a conscious decision that comes within our heart. There's a struggle that each and every one of us face. Every day we face these struggles. What will you choose? What comes first in your life? We saw it reflected in Abel, what came first to him. He prioritized God. But Cain had a heart problem. He had a bad attitude. You see, it's obvious, it's evident that Cain had a lot of pride that he was dealing with. You know, he was an older one. His younger brother was being accepted. I mentioned earlier on, we don't know what the age differences were. Maybe this was a first sibling rivalry. I didn't say that earlier, but perhaps it was. But Cain had a heart issue, a pride issue. You know, have you ever known anybody in your life that can't take constructive criticism? That's not good when that happens. You know, we all have constructive criticism from our boss when we don't do right. Sometimes from our spouse when we didn't do what was right. Just from our friends, from the people that care about us, our church members. Constructive criticism is the first word, constructive. But some people, they have a heart issue too. They've got a problem with pride. So they only look at it as criticism. So they turn it personal. It looks like all Cain was doing was looking inward at himself. And he didn't want any instructions anymore. And he wasn't listening. Pride has a way of doing that. It clouds our judgment. You see, when we have too much pride and things don't go right, and then somebody gives us a little bit of constructive criticism, well, anger wells up and resentment wells up. And we don't want to listen. Cain wasn't listening. Folks, when we are that way, or if there's other people that we know that way, there's something else that comes along. It's always somebody else's fault. It's not your fault. It's not my fault. It's always somebody else's fault. You see what an evil trap pride can be. What jealousy can be. Because with pride comes jealousy. And folks, you know, there's nothing wrong with being prideful in the work you've done when you've worked so hard to accomplish something. When we have these milestones in our lives, when we're proud of our children, when we're proud of what God has blessed and given to us. But there's a difference between having gratitude and being thankful and being proud of things in a proper way and having self-pride on, oh, look at me. Look at how good I am. I don't need to listen to other people. It wasn't my fault. That appears to be the situation that Cain is in. He couldn't admit that he did anything wrong. No, he was rejected. God had no regard for him or his offering. And that's all he could hold on to and grasp hold of. So things take a tragic turn. But before we go there, couple of verses that the Bible gives to us about pride and what a warning we need to glean from this. Put yourself in this story, folks. If you were on the sidelines observing the way Cain was acting in this conversation, what would you think of Cain? Would you want to grab him and shake him and say, wake up and listen. The Lord is speaking to you. He wasn't. Proverbs 16:18 tells us, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 21:2, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. And if we stop right there for just a moment, I believe Cain was convinced that he was right. He brought an offering, and it should have been accepted. He couldn't get past that, his own eyes, what he thought and what he wanted, how he wanted it to be. And he wasn't listening to God. And pride does that. His way was right in his own eyes. But the Lord pondereth the hearts. In Jeremiah 17:10 we see, I, the Lord, searcheth the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruits of his doings. You see, folks, nothing's hidden. God sees all. And he knows the intentions of our hearts. He knows when we come before him in worship with the right attitude or a bad attitude. You know, there are a lot of churches where they've got overflowing pews and benches. But sometimes there's people there that don't have the right attitude to worship. They came to be seen, not to worship. There's a difference. We've come to worship when God is first and foremost on our hearts. If you come to be seen, you didn't come for the right reasons. And God knows. In Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, "Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith." His soul is not right within him. That's what it means when it says upright in him. Folks, Cain had a problem with the heart. It wasn't right within him. Pride and jealousy and resentment had turned his heart very dark. We all sometimes face that in our lives. Some people struggle with it more than others. But God tells us to rule over it. Now let's continue reading. Chapter 4, verse 8. "And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him." Now folks, it doesn't say here, again the Bible's not specific, the time frame of when God was talking with Cain and when Cain went to his brother Abel. It could have been immediate. It could have been a week. It could have been 2 weeks. I don't know. Sometimes it takes, the longer and longer it goes, either things can subside or they'll grow worse and worse. Let me read it again. "And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass," so there was some passage of time, "when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him." Cain killed Abel. He killed him. We can't answer all the reasons at this point. He had his motivations. But at this point, it just tells us that Cain killed Abel, the very first murder. How sad. How dark and wicked his heart had become. And so now there's an accounting. The Lord comes to him again. And the Lord says, "And the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he, being Cain, said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" You talk about a wicked heart. How could anybody, hearing the voice of God, respond in such a flippant manner? Cain lied. He lied, folks. He said he didn't know where Cain was. He knew good and well. He killed him. He lied to God. Look at the wicked heart inside Cain at this point. And I believe it all stemmed from that pride and that jealousy, because his offering was rejected and he was rejected. But God looks on the heart. And we see the results. Cain lied to God. Not only did he kill Abel, but he lied to God. When Adam and Eve sinned, God went to them too. He went searching for them. But they confessed their sins. Giant difference. That comes from the heart. Cain didn't. And God said in chapter 10, and he said, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now thou art cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth." Well, now, in verse 13, suddenly Cain is all pitiful. Again, he's thinking only of himself. Verse 13. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone who findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Now, folks, I said early on at the very beginning, this story is a collection of firsts. At the end of it, we see first murder, first known lie to God, all from a wicked heart, an unrepentant, prideful heart. Folks, there's a lot to be learned from that. We need to look at ourselves. Because when we read these stories that we find in the Bible, it's reflective of all men and women. All of us can be tempted like Cain. And if sin is lying at the door to ensnare us, if we don't turn to God and humble ourselves before Him, we can hopefully not do what Cain did, but we can be led astray because of our stubbornness and our pride. What else does the Bible say about Cain and Abel? You know, there's a saying that Scripture interprets Scripture. The other parts of the Bible, it talks a good bit about Cain and Abel. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 35, Jesus referred to Abel as righteous Abel. He was righteous. Those are the words of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it being dead, yet he speaketh. Folks, that can be have a lot of different meanings, but just to, real quickly. The stories in the Bible are here to teach us. These stories are speaking to us today. Folks, the life you live, the influence you have on people speaks too. People remember them. How many encounters from 40 years ago? If you're that old, let's shorten it up from 10 years ago. Something that you were in the middle of, you affected a person in a way that perhaps you don't even know about, but to somebody else it meant a lot. What influences are we having? This story of Cain is speaking. I hope it's speaking to you in the right way today, because we all need to reflect and look at our own hearts, don't we? Nothing's hidden from the Lord, and we shouldn't try to hide it. John, 1 John 3:12. Not as Cain, who is of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? The question's asked. Why did Cain kill Abel? Because his own works were evil, and his brothers were righteous. Folks, again, that speaks to the heart. He was jealous. He had resentment of all people towards his brother. That's what pride can do. It's wicked, it's evil, and it turns our hearts dark, because we only think of ourselves, and anything that isn't done that gratifies and satisfies and uplifts us, we can resent it and take issue with it, as Cain did with God. It tells us his motivations. His heart was wicked from the beginning. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11 says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. See, folks, we can't have faith in our works. We can only have faith in God and what He does to atone for our sins. Abel evidently understood that. What did he have faith in? In his relationship with the Lord, that the Lord was merciful and would forgive, and in the promise that the Lord gave Adam and Eve of a coming Messiah that would crush the serpent's head. Abel had faith. That's the only way a person is accounted righteous, is through faith. The Bible is very explicit through that. No man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Now, folks, there's something else here that's important. Because we see adversity in that story. Cain hated Abel because Cain's works were wicked and Abel's were righteous. And there's always going to be animosity from people when they look at God's people who are trying to live a godly life. There's always going to be trouble. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, we read, "Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." It's going to happen. There's going to be ridicule. There's going to be, it could be worse than that. There are people that will go out of our way to get those do-gooders, those Christians, to poke fun at them, to make fun of them when they're little. But sometimes it gets worse as we become adults. There's lots of churches that get vandalized all the time simply because we have faith in God. That's to be expected. That's what we just read, the motivations of Cain. Because Abel's works were righteous. But folks, that can't deter us from attempting to do good, to being faithful to God, to putting our faith, our trust in God, and putting God first in our lives. That's how Abel speaks to us. In closing, folks, I'll tell you or reread to you again what we read just a moment ago from James chapter 4, verse 7. "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Folks, we all have the ability and strength to do our best to resist temptation. And the Lord tells us he will not tempt us beyond what we are able to endure. If God gives us tomorrow, and whatever temptations we may struggle with, I pray that you will put God first and think of his word as you deal with it. May the Lord add his blessings to these words, is my prayer for all of us.